Beloved, our second reading comes from the book of Matthew, reading in the second chapter. Listen for God's word to the church. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Our earthly journeys begin with announcements of our impending arrival and preparations being made for us to become members of our families. Depending on one's birth order, or if one is an only child, it is inevitable that family dynamics will change with the advent of a newborn in the household. One's experiences from this moment on will either be individual or shared with a family or group. Group or personal triumphs can be celebrated in a sport like football. While it is a team sport, we also acknowledge the efforts of players who hold the various positions in the game. People who play in the position of running back have their jobs defined by their placement on the field. The running back may be called on to block for the quarterback, to take a handoff or receive a pass and run with the ball. Fans of American football have enjoyed the illustrious careers of several athletes who have played in this particular position. Some of those famous people include Marcus Allen, Larry Zonka, Emmitt Smith, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and Walter Sweetness Payton. Oh yeah. When the ball was handed to number 34 of the Chicago Bears, it was pure poetry. The manner in which Walter Payton leapt over defenders and evaded blocks and ran the ball in for a touchdown was thrilling. A player that takes on the challenge of being a halfback or fullback must be somebody who has sure hands and is able to catch or hold on to the ball. The player also needs to have the physical ability to harness their blocking skills in order to protect the quarterback again, or create a seam or path for the running back to zig left or jag right in a detour that will help them with the path forward. Added to this conglomeration of athletic gifts is the capacity for endurance. As the name running back suggests, one must add to their skills speed, agility, and the endurance to run. Please allow me to conduct an unscientific poll by a show of hands. How many people enjoy jogging or running? Nobody? Oh, a few hands are going up. Okay, great. Running, while it is a thing of beauty and a great way to maintain good health, can also be a useful strategy for self-preservation in the face of danger. Our human history has not always been one that is filled with self-determined adventures like the one that Lewis and Clark embarked on the Pacific coast. In times past, people have had to take a detour from their life plans and have had instead to run for their lives because of invading troops or a faction of their own government that is persecuting them. Such was the case with the Ottoman Empire when they persecuted Armenians and systematically killed them. The same happened with Jews in Nazi Germany. Unfortunately, this story continues today. You may recall the awful violence that the world witnessed during the Rwandan conflict between the Hutus and the Tutsis. Similar atrocities were being committed in Darfur, in Sudan. The Janjaweed, a government-backed militia of the Arab tribes in Sudan, were raping women and girls, starving people, and committing mass murder in Darfur. This ethnic cleansing that our global community condemned left us with the shocking statistic of 100 people dying each day. This also meant that 5,000 people lost their lives every month. The result of the genocide in Darfur is that there were 2.5 million people who had been displaced within the country. Genocides and Holocausts have created millions of refugees around the world. People have had to run away from their home country in order to escape those who are plotting to kill them. It is not often the case that people will get advance warning of impending danger when one has been targeted because of one's ethical beliefs, one's political affiliation, or one's ethnicity. Sometimes gunshots and screaming people being attacked by others as the only notice that you'll receive. There's a story of one family that was warned by the former students of the husband. He had taught many of the soldiers in high school, and the soldiers had been ordered by the party to eliminate people who disagreed with the dictatorial tendencies of the president. So these young pioneers went to warn the family that they would be next. Perhaps they would be subjected to the cruelest forms of torture or be thrown into the river, with people in the nearby villages hearing their screams as they were torn limb from limb by crocodiles. Taking important documents such as university degrees and passports, the young couple bundled their two girls, an infant and a newborn, into the car. They drove away from their home, leaving the lights on and the other car in the garage. After they had driven 2 hours from home, the woman began to sob. She told her husband that she feared for her parents' lives and for those of her siblings and their families. Her teary confessions of her thoughts about the family soon grew into loud wailing that matched the incessant crying of the infant. Her husband lovingly asked what was troubling her now. He assured her that they were closer to the border, they would make it. But she cried out, "We left black!" Black was their beautiful dachshund that was adored by the family and the neighbors. They wept for their beloved dog, who had been a great companion for their 3-year-old. However, they prayed that the neighbors would notice that something was amiss, because the lights were on during the day, and perhaps they would go and check and find the dog and take care of him. Seeking refuge in a different nation, as this family did, may be the only viable choice that one has to survive. Becoming a refugee is not an ideal situation, but when you have family depending on you for protection, the choice to leave your home and most of your belongings becomes vital for their survival. In some cases, people who are being shot or starved to death or sexually abused may have to escape to a more peaceful place within their country. And leaving their homes and farms and livestock, they become what is known as displaced persons. The reasons why people become refugees or internally displaced persons is not an easy subject to broach on this first Sunday in Christmastide, when we should be celebrating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. This should be a time of feasting and of presence with one another. While this may be so, it is also a time for us to reflect on the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. The reading from this second chapter of Matthew this morning describes the early period of Jesus' life. King Herod, in a fit of jealous rage that someone else would be king, declared that all baby boys who were 2 years old and younger should be killed. Joseph received a warning in a dream that he should take Mary and the baby and leave the country. They traveled southwest to Egypt to escape Herod's henchmen and became political refugees. Joseph and Mary raised Jesus in Egypt until enough time had passed and they could safely return to Bethlehem. King Herod had died, but to Joseph's dismay, Herod's son Archelaus, who was a more vicious tyrant, ascended to the throne. He could not return to Bethlehem, which was his hometown, and in order to protect his young wife and baby, Joseph took them to Nazareth. This was a place where they became internally displaced because they were no longer living there in their ancestral home. Rather, they lived in the country, in the part of the country that had been filled with Gentiles. The story of the birth of Jesus and his formative years in exile in Egypt is one that many people can identify with. Early in his life, Jesus and his family ran away from those who sought to kill him. Jesus became a refugee. Christ experienced living as an internally displaced person as well when they made their hometown in Nazareth. God's Son, the one whom we believe was fully divine and fully human, lived out a full range of human emotions and situations. Jesus truly is Emmanuel, God with us. The Messiah not only took on our form, but he became for us a God with skin on. Our God is not one who is made known to us from afar, but one who came to live with us. The Bible informs us that Jesus was very much like a running back. Bear with me here. I would even deign to say that Jesus is the consummate fullback. As we study the Word of God, we see that Christ showed us how to live grace-filled lives. In taking away the sting of death and redeeming us from our sins, Jesus blocks that which separates us from God. When he teaches people to love with all their heart, soul, and mind the God of all creation, and to love their neighbors, they love themselves, Christ shows us how to receive instructions. In healing the sick, curing the lame, and feeding the hungry, we are being detoured from self-ambition as we are now taught how to live Christian lives in this needy and broken world. Jesus shows us how to run gracefully toward the goal line at life's end. Our aim is to make it into the end zone, or to say it another way, to make it into the eternal kingdom. Jesus knew firsthand what it was like to be displaced and a refugee. The reality of a refugee is often that one is running away from those who want to destroy one's life. The Messiah, through his life on earth, is showing us that we can also run toward that which gives us life. Jesus Christ opens his arms and offers us a place in the kingdom, a place in which we will find refuge. When we understand that in Jesus we are sheltered from the things that would kill our souls, we are empowered to act as disciples of Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are then able to minister to those who seek solace from trying and dangerous times. When we, the people of God, are invited to run with endurance, we can do so gracefully, trusting in the Lord. There are many ways in which we can demonstrate God's love to those who are desperate to experience the loving nature of God. This is particularly the case when we are disillusioned by life's detours. Are there any detours that you have experienced in your life? Perhaps one had plans to go to a particular university, and the acceptance letter does not come back. Instead, you have to leave your first choice and go to a second choice university, which seems unfair. And yet God's providence is that even though there's this little jag in one's life's trajectory, it is at this second place of higher learning that you meet your future spouse. It might be that a particular job that you had pursued is no longer available because the company has decided to outsource that division. Ugh. Back to the drawing board. Time to rethink employment options. And yet, in this next place that you work, you'll find that you utilize a lot more of the skills with which you are blessed. It might be that there's an unexpected twist in one's retirement plans or the retirement plans of one's parents. The onset of dementia or the death of a spouse may lead one to alter their plans. However, beloved, in all these situations that we face, any detours in our plans, we know that God is with us. The family of four that I spoke about earlier, who drove into exile, were soon joined by a son. This baby was the crown prince and would have been the next in line on the throne had they remained in their country of origin. Divine intervention meant that there was a detour in their lives. One, if not taken, would have led to their demise. Beloved, God is reaching out to people like you and me through dreams and wise counsel of people who share Christ's message of hope. God, who is love, invites us into full relationship. What divine detours does the Almighty have in store for this church as we move into our 150th year of ministry in Wayne? Who will God lead to join us as new church members? In how many of the adult education course offerings will you participate in 2020? It is now our time to reach out in love by taking the message of Christmas out to the neighborhoods, into this town, and indeed into the world. May God bless all the ministries in which this church is currently involved and those to which God will lead us, running faithfully toward the kingdom goal as a school for love. Amen.